Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, this is Genuinely Grace. Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast. I hope you've had a good week. I got a really good response to the podcast last week with Joe Wilson and Andy Coley. We were talking about NLP and some of the amazing techniques that work so brilliantly for people ditching the booze or any behaviour change, really. And they did a lovely little extra bit for Sober Club members. And then I spent last weekend doing a training course with Joe and Andy, obviously online. But it was just fantastic, absolutely eye-opening. So I'm so thrilled to be finally properly training in NLP, because I've always known that the techniques are great for yourself and to work with other people, and it just makes you recognize how we all perceive things so differently, and one person's style of communication can be so different to someone else's, and one person can mean something but it's taken completely the wrong way. And for anyone ditching the booze, you will have experienced this, because in the early weeks sometimes you feel really quite raw and it's like an emotional roller coaster, and everything anyone else says to you is irritating, and you just go through this time that can be really quite tough, and it just really helps to be able to recognize your own patterns, your own thought patterns, and also those who are close to you. It's brilliant. So I'm definitely going to be recommending that in due course. Make sure you check out Joe and Andy's work, because as they said on last week's podcast, they've got a low cost workshop. I think it's really cheap. It's under 20 quid on May the 23rd, which is all about releasing those kind of negative triggers and negative behaviours. So make sure you have a look at that. It's beyond NLP training. I'll put it in the show notes as well. So I really hope you enjoyed that. If you hadn't had a chance to listen, then go back and listen up. This week, really, really pleased that we've teamed up with Sea Arch. Sea Arch are one of my favourite brands. I've mentioned them so many times because it's just an amazing drink, and it looks beautiful and it just tastes great. So we're going to be having a chat with Sarah Yates, the founder of Sea Arch, and see what's going on with them. And also, I thought it'd be really nice to bring you an interview that I did with one of my Sober Club members, Sue. It's been just amazing to watch her journey. So I started the Sober Club in last September, and Sue has been a member for 6 months. She's been sober 6 months, and she wrote a little piece for me. I wrote a kind of blog post about being 6 months sober. And I just thought it was so powerful, because she just described some of the ups and downs and the amazing benefits that she's achieved, but also very realistic about the bits that were tough. And I think particularly over this lockdown period, I've come across a bunch of people who have found that they've been tested, really, really tested and challenged, because things are weird at the moment, to say the least. She had a moment, which she'll tell you about in the interview, I'm sure. But it was great reading this post. And I kind of read this and realised how helpful that would be for other people to read who are, a few stages back. Because, let's face it, we all need someone who's a little bit ahead of us, and just to remind us. And also, it's super inspiring, the fact that Sue has kind of just this massive growth from kind of keeping herself quite small to the way she has totally blossomed. It's really inspirational. I hope you'll find it inspiring. And it's lovely to hear from people who are just getting on with their lives, doing what they do, but making this, doing this massive thing, because it is massive. I think sometimes we underestimate just what a massive thing it is, ditching the booze. If you're in that cycle of drinking too much, or knowing that it's time to stop, or you're in the early, stages, you will know exactly what I mean, you know, this is not the same as deciding to, become a vegan or quit sugar or take up running or anything else, all of which may be hugely important and tough at the beginning and super good for you when you finally, you know, crack them. All of those things are amazing. But this is the biggest. this is the biggest thing, in my opinion. It really is, because it underpins everything else. It literally underpins everything else. If drinking is a thing for you, and I'm guessing, at least you have some concept of that if you're listening to this podcast. On the surface, everything might be absolutely fabulous, of course. But then you are doing, you know, as I did, waking up at 3 a.m. with the voice in the head. So if that's you, don't be under any illusions that this is simple and it's quick, because it isn't. It's a massive, massive, massive thing, but it's also the best thing you will ever do. It underpins everything, and it really is the best thing. I've had yet another client that I've been speaking with this week who fully expected to kind of launch into this ditching the booze thing, to have lost all, you know, lots of extra weight within 2 weeks and be feeling incredible and like tick that off the list. You know, she's sort of a bit of a superwoman in every area of other area of her life. So I think her initial impression was she would literally be able to just tick this one off. But, you know, it isn't like that. You actually do have to really, really commit and really make your decision. And it's so worth it. I think I said that enough times, haven't I? I think you get it now. You get my enthusiasm. So I thought it would be lovely for you to hear from Sue. So we'll hear Sue, and then, as I say, Sarah from Sea Arch chatting to us a little bit about what's going on with the brand. So enjoy the interviews. Welcome, Sue Reed. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Janie. Thank you for having me. It's lovely to be here.
Yeah, it's really nice to chat, because we've obviously connected on the Sober Club, and you, it's been great for me and for those of us in the Sober Club to see your journey, because you've sort of we've been through the highs and lows with you, let's put it that way, and you're now 6 months sober, which is just so cool and so exciting, and you've taken the trouble to sort of document a little bit of your journey, and in fact you've ended up doing lots of writing. We'll talk more about that in a moment, but just take us right back then, for anyone who hasn't read your story, take us right back to the beginning. Tell us a little bit about Sue and her drinking career.
Oh golly, yes, quite a journey. I think my drinking career really kicked off when I went to teacher training college in London way back in 1981. The social life was very much around the rugby club. It was a campus college and we just drank. It was the 80s. We just drank like fish. Mm. And drank solidly ever since.
Just to interrupt you there, it's funny, isn't it? That 80s culture, I remember that. Yes. I think that was when it really kicked in for women. When you know, it was the kind of the ladette thing, wasn't it, kicking mm. in then? Because I think mm. before then, I'm not sure that women had kind of tried to keep up with men, but in the 80s, we certainly did.
Well, we did, yes. I had a job, because I think because I drank so much, I got through an awful lot of money and ended up overdrawn permanently. And I got a job in the college bar, which was a non-profit bar run by an old guy, Bill the Barman, this old son. He'd go off to his Navy club and leave me and my friend Jane in charge of the bar. And we'd have this thing where we worked the optics. So we would do a double out of each optic and going right from the end with the Cinzanos, the Dubonnets, the Martinis, then the gins, the vodkas, the whiskey. And then we'd cross in the middle and go back to the other side. So we'd be absolutely palatic. They'd have things like the Lope, a three-legged race at college, which involved 13 pubs, and you would drink a pint in each pub, tied together with other people, and then go to the bar at the end where there would be the Perno rep waiting for you at the other end to give you shots of Perno for 35p plus free mixer. We were working the bar, so we gave vodka as free mixers. A huge drinking culture back then.
So when did it start to change then for you? You obviously, just tell us a little bit about what happened for you after that when you moved to the countryside.
Yeah, sure. I met my husband at college. He went to college with his sister. I met him. We moved up. We lived in Liverpool for a while, carried on drinking quite heavily. Moved up to the countryside, started brewing our own wine, made it in 5 gallon drums, made our own beer, put twice as much sugar in the beer to make it extra alcoholic, and just carried on. Hit the rave scene in the 90s, even with small children, and got into all sorts of mischief with that, and just carried on still. And there have been a lot of lows in my life, without going into lots of detail, and I used alcohol very much to numb the pain. It wouldn't be uncommon to have, you know, a litre of vodka over 3 or 4 days, and just drank because life was painful at times, and used alcohol. It's, you know, we partied hard, we drank hard, we partied hard, but also it became a very regular habit. And cooking the meals, you know, getting into my 50s, you cook the tea, and as soon as you light the gas, what do you think of? Oh, gin and tonic. And of course, they're not pub measures, you know, they're quadruples. And by the time you've had 3 gins, you live in the countryside, you don't do anything, you don't go anywhere, you don't see anybody. You're just a bit of a sad sack at home, really.
Yeah. So when did what happened for you, you know, sort of 6 months ago or just before then? If you just back us up to what took you to the point of recognizing that it had to change.
It was a New Year's. No, it wasn't New Year. My husband was and is treasurer of the local folk club, and they had a massive gathering in a village square with a bonfire and a wolf and all these lovely things that were happening. He went, I couldn't go. I was just too anxious to, I was getting so socially anxious that I couldn't go out and couldn't see people. And I remember thinking, something's got to change here. Something really has got to stop. I'd had a big argument with a member of the family that hadn't gone well. My response wasn't adult-like, it was very childlike. That had upset me. And I bumped into somebody in the town centre, and we were just chatting, and she said, oh, I've given up alcohol. Oh, I said, blimey, you know, that's a tough call. No, she said, it's the best thing I've ever done. You know, and I came home and I listened to your TED Talk.
Oh, yeah.
And then I listened to a couple of podcasts, and I just thought, right, okay, let's give this a go. And that's really how that came about.
So at the beginning, were you thinking, as so many of us do, that you knew it was becoming an issue for you and you thought you would just cut down? Or were you able to catch sight straight away of ditching it for good?
Yeah, I think I'd already worked with cutting down. And certainly if you look back to how I was drinking before, in the 80s and 90s, I had cut down. I was only sort of drinking 2 or 3 times a week, maybe wine at the weekend. I had got cut down, but still it was causing me massive problems with my mental health. So no, I just decided that was it. I was ready to sever the relationship with alcohol, and I didn't realise just how ready I was to do that.
I mean, what's been amazing watching your journey in the Sober Club is, I think, just through the posts that you've sort of put in our group, we've seen you flourish. And just talk us through those early months when it, you know, it really was about so much more than just not drinking, wasn't it, for you?
Absolutely, absolutely. It was about dealing with the emotions, about the highs and lows, about recognizing the part that alcohol had played in my life, in trapping me and in keeping me embroiled in these emotions and keeping me in a very childlike state, and not able to find my adult self. Real highs and lows of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and then light bulb moments, then when you feel like your brain had been washed with a clear mountain stream, and wow, you know, this is amazing. And I think there were 4 weeks of, people call it, do they call it the pink fluffy clouds?
Yeah, the kind of euphoria time. Yeah.
And then at 6 weeks, wallop, I hit this wall. It's like, whoa, the sleeping was atrocious. I was cross. I was sad. I was all of these things. And the Sober Club really propped me up, held me under the armpits and walked me along, and I got through it. And yeah, there are highs and lows along the time, and they call it the wine witch. Mine's more of a gin goblin. Comes back and creeps in the back door every now and again when you don't expect it, and it's still a journey.
I know that, you know, again, without going into too much detail, I know that relationships have been very difficult for you because you've had to navigate, you know, family relationships and you know, all kinds of personal stuff that you probably didn't know you were going to have to deal with. I mean, this is the interesting thing, isn't it? Sometimes these things come upon us and suddenly we realize that we've got to deal with something that we've just been closing off from our lives already, or from the forefront of our thinking. We've closed it for such a long time. Did you find, though, that hard as it was, you felt that it was right, or you felt more resilient to be able to? Because I think what I'm trying to get at is that I know that sometimes the fear of what you're going to have to deal with actually stops people from even taking the step. So, you know, I'd be interested to know how, you know, if at all, if you felt more, if you knew that you felt stronger to be able to deal with, I mean, it was still crap, right? But is it better dealing with the crap that way?
Yes, totally. And you're so right when you say that you put off giving up things because of fear of having to deal with some issues. There were issues, and again, it's personal, I'm not going to go into huge detail, but there were issues I knew I had to confront if I gave up alcohol. But it was amazing how, yeah, they were hard to confront, but we've got through it and we've come out the other end. And yes, I feel terrifically empowered and so much stronger. There's no way. Take me back 6 months that I would have been able to sit here having an interview with here now, talking about myself, having ownership of my life and having taken control of it, and to look to the future and just think, well, there's so many great things that are going to happen now. Life is so much more positive.
Yeah. And it's been, carry on.
In my relationships here and in my marriage, absolutely terrific. I've discovered my best friend again. And that's wonderful. Yeah.
And is that because your husband was, you know, kind of supported you in your decision not to drink?
Yes, he's been encouraging, although he does drink still, although in lockdown we live in the middle of nowhere, we don't get near shops, and he hasn't been buying very much alcohol at all. He'll have a drink, maybe a glass of wine on a Sunday. He's lost his drinking buddy, and we do talk about that. He said he's sad that, you know, if we go out for a meal, when we get to go out for a meal, I won't be able to share a bottle of wine with him. I went through Christmas sober. That was quite terrifying, but it was good, and we did it. And yes, he has been supportive. He congratulated me on my 6 months and said he was proud of me and well done.
Yeah.
And he's noticed a change in me. You know, I am a lot more adult in the way I'll deal with things and discuss things. I'm not saying it was always all my fault, but definitely I feel more adult coming into the conversation.
Yeah, it's so interesting, isn't it? Because our emotional intelligence for most of us stopped when we were about 14 or 15 when we started drinking. And then now we're having to deal with stuff, literally, as you say, in an adult way. What's been lovely as well is to see how sort of creative you've become. So we'll talk about the writing in a moment, but first of all, just tell us a bit about some of the lovely things that you've created. I know, yeah, I'm guessing you've always been a bit of a domestic goddess, you know, booze or no booze. Yeah. But it's been lovely watching you talk about just, I don't know, how you've got into all sorts of creativity with your gardening and cooking. Just tell us a bit about how that's changed since you've ditched the booze.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I really lost the plot big time back in 2011 when I was teaching. And I think looking back now, alcohol had quite a big part in that. And I set up my own business. Well, no, let's go back a bit. I lost the plot and started blogging. I set up a blog called The Bridge Cottage Way and just started writing about our sustainable life and the way we live. And through that, started recycling old jumpers, cutting them up. And for 7 years, I ran a business called The Woolly Peddler. that was quite successful. It did quite well. And I used to, make all these weird and wacky coats and hooded jumpers with old clothes. But my heart's always been in my writing and in doing that. But I think, Tim and I, Tim's my husband, we've always been very creative in the way we approach life, making things. My nan, my mum, they were all great creatives. We sew, we knit, we do all those sorts of things. And I love to be creative in the kitchen.
I know you've been encouraging people to forage and get out and find some wild garlic and nettles and stuff. Have you got any tips for us how we can use said nettles if we're brave enough to pick them?
I have. I've got a wonderful... Well, nettles... To be honest, I've only just recently sort of started eating nettles. I just thought, that was just one step too far before. But they surprised me at actually how tasty they were. And when you read more and find how nutritious nettles are, being high in vitamins, I'm reading it, A, C, iron, potassium, manganese and calcium, too good to pass up. So I've got a 3-in-1 for you here. I've got nettle pesto. And from making nettle pesto, you can make nettle tea. And from the nettle tea, make a cordial. For the pesto, you need to boil up nettle leaves. You just need the tips. Take the tips from the top of the plant and wear gloves. Don't be able to. Take the tips from the top of the plant before they flower and set seed. Never eat them raw. I heard of somebody who made pesto with nettles, didn't cook them, took a teaspoon of it to taste and stung all her throat and neck. So that comes with a warning. Pesto, 200 grams of nettle leaves, 2 litres of boiling water. Cook your nettles in the water and then you just mix it with olive oil, pine nuts, lemon juice, garlic, blitz all that. You've got pesto.
Wow.
For cordial, you then take a litre of what you now have is nettle tea. Where you've strained your nettles from the water, you now have nettle tea, which can be drunk on its own as tea. But if you put in, with a litre of nettle tea, if you put in 800 grams of sugar and a sliced lemon, you can put all that in a pan, boil it for 2 minutes until the sugar's dissolved, pour it in a bottle, put it in the fridge. You've got nettle cordial that you can then put with soda water or tonic water, and it's delicious.
Love it.
Now, lilacs on the trees at the minute, and that's my next plan this week, to experiment with making a lilac cordial. And it looks so pretty from the ones I've seen on Instagram. You get this pretty purple drink. I'll report back on the Sober Club. I'll let you know how my lilac cordial goes.
Amazing. So tell us about your writing then, because one of the things that we've spoken a lot about in the Sober Club is the importance of writing down your thoughts. If you can journal, even better. And I know that you, like me, are a fan of Julia Cameron, author of The Artist's Way. She recommends what she calls morning pages and writing just stream of consciousness stuff. Now, I know that you have since, you're actually now a writer, but in the beginning, did you start with just getting your thoughts out?
Yeah. And in fact, we've just gone into the loft and found a box that says, "My diary's private, please keep out." And they're quite harrowing, actually. I've read them in small doses. They're my journals that go right back to when I was 14. And go right the way through. So I have always journaled. I've always written thoughts down. I always do morning pages religiously every morning. You just sit in bed and write whatever comes in your head. It's amazing where it takes you. You finish your 3 pages and think, wow, where did that come from? Which is fascinating. Yeah.
And how did that help you then in the early stages of sobriety?
It's a way of getting down what is in your head without worrying what people are going to think. You can use rude words. You can put thoughts down that, you'd be horrified if anybody read these, but nobody is going to read them. And Julia Cameron with her morning pages say, don't even put it in a nice journal. I love my nice journals. I have to keep them. I'm a bit of a journal addict. But she just says, write them on a piece of paper and then you can bin them. You can burn them. You don't have to keep them, but it's about getting the thoughts out of it, about releasing all this tension that's in your head.
Yeah. And then in addition to the releasing, you also have realized that you've got a real passion for writing. So tell us about the work that you're doing now.
Sure. Well, I have always wanted to be a writer ever since I was a little girl. And I got hold of a book that a friend of my nan's had written, and I just thought, I want to be a writer. And I found out that you can get a student loan for an MA up until you're 60.
Wow.
Yeah, you can. And I'm 58, so I'm 2 years to go. So I'm doing a part-time MA at Newcastle University in creative writing. And I think it's twofold. This is taking two distinct directions at the moment. One, or maybe three even. I'd love to write for children, and I'm writing a children's novel at the moment. But the main thing is your own story, your own personal journey, your memoir. It's taken a lot for me to give myself permission to even think about writing my own story. Some of the parts of my life, you know, are quite shocking. And I'm not sure, you know, that some of the family would want to hear some of that. So that's all to be dealt with. So, yeah, you know, the memoir is a thought. It will be called Sex, Gin and Chocolate Cupcakes. Three quite major things in my life.
Yeah.
That's there. And I have a website, Sue Reed Writes, where I blog about my sober journey, my feelings, my memoir, that sort of thing. But the other direction my writing's taken, and this goes back to 2011 when I started the other blog, is the British Cottage Way. And I write about sustainable living, or living as sustainably as we can. And I'd like to produce a yearbook where we take each month at a time and look at how we can live within the seasons, cook seasonal food, grow our own food, and live as seasonally as we can. So the Bridge Cottage Way is really taking off at the minute.
I love that. That's going to be amazing. How fabulous. Let me just ask you, because again, to anyone listening who's right at the very beginning of their journey, it's all sounding like, you know, was magically relatively effortless. But, you know, it is worth sort of sharing that, you know, you were sure that you wanted to ditch the booze, and you did have support, and you were already journaling, and you were making your lovely things, and you know, everything seems kind of fabulous, but even you had a big old trip up and nearly lost it at one point. Do you want to just share that with us? Because I think it really helps people recognize that sometimes this stuff can come and bite you on the bum, even when you think you're on it.
Totally. Yes. And it might sound that everything's idyllic and perfect. It's far from it. It was during lockdown, and I've got a little granddaughter and three, I call them kids, they're not kids, they're 23, between the ages of 23 and 29. And my 23-year-old had only just left home. So big empty nest stuff going on, lockdown happened, couldn't see the kids. And from somewhere, this sort of thought was, oh, if only you could get a gin and tonic, you know, life would be so much better. I just lost the plot completely. I was missing the family so much, so badly it felt like a physical pain right deep within my core. I'm sure other people, other grannies will identify with this, where you can't see your grandchild. And I completely lost the plot. Yeah, I was a bubbling wreck. And I posted on the Sober Club, and you messaged me, Janie, and you're like, you're all right, do you need a phone call? I'm like, yes, I do. And I came up to a room upstairs, and just we talked for a good half hour, bless you. It was Sunday, bank holiday. It was bank holiday, but it was a Sunday. You took time out from your family, and you literally had to talk me down.
Do you think, looking back then, what would be your tip for someone else when those what was the thing that you needed to hear in order to get back on track, as it were? Have you identified that?
I think, and this goes back to some the other Alan Carr as well says this, who wrote The Easy Way to Give Up Smoking and Alcohol and all the rest of it. And it was something I used when I gave up smoking as well, was these are just thoughts. These are thoughts, and you can do with thoughts what you want to do with thoughts. That is your choice. And if you can distract yourself, if you can say you're just a thought, go away. I don't want to do it. I visualize a light switch, actually. And I just visualize switching off that light switch. That's a thought. I don't want it. Go away. Turn it off. And go and find something else to do. And you will more often than not find that that thought goes. It doesn't last long.
Yeah, absolutely. Recognizing that you are not your thoughts is really critical, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so what's next? Sorry, carry on.
You said something else to me that I've taken on board, is that I think part of my personality is to rush around being very busy doing things, projecting this positive lifestyle, this image, oh, I bake, I cook, I do this. But I think in a way I do this to stop the feelings coming. It's sort of a bit of a protective blanket for me. Mm-hmm. And you suggested that I wasn't actually going within. Mm-hmm. I wasn't taking time to meditate, to become, if you go to Sue Reed Wright's website, I put morning pages on my meditation, which I suppose is a way of going in, but I don't allow myself time just to be still. Even throughout the whole of this lockdown, there hasn't been one day when I've just gone, oh, what shall I do now? It's a constant battery of being busy. And I need to make sure that I spend time going within and being quiet. Mm.
Yeah, so true. I think we all really do. Well, I really appreciate you chatting to us, Sue, and so much luck with all your projects. I really look forward to seeing, you know, what comes out of all of this, whether it's books or thesis or all manner of things. And meanwhile, just remind us of that blog again, where people can, or website where people can read some of your work.
Yeah, well, if you want to read about my sober journey, you need to go to www.suereedwrites.co.uk. There's a Facebook page and an Instagram account for those. If you want to know about sustainable living and all things eco, head to the Bridge Cottage Way. And there's a website coming soon for that, but you'll find that on Instagram and Facebook as well.
Excellent. Yeah. Sue Reed, thank you so much for your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Janie. Lovely to talk.
So check out Sue's blog and, as promised, his little chat with Sarah Yates from Sea Arch.
I love Sea Arch. Even the name, I just want to come to the sea, Sarah, if you could just sort that for me as soon as possible. Welcome.
Absolutely. Well, actually, we're telling everyone to stay away still.
Yeah. So you can't invite me yet.
Yeah, a little bit longer. Unless, like you say, you can drive further now.
But, yeah.
You obviously can't stay or anything. And I don't think toilets are open. That's what's worrying me when I'm thinking of driving further afield.
Yeah, exactly. We have interviewed you on the podcast before, so I think a lot of people are aware. But just in case anyone's new to all of this, just tell us a little bit about Sea Arch, which is just such a lovely alcohol-free brand. Just tell us about the inspiration, which is indeed from the sea.
Yeah, absolutely. We live on the coast down here in very, very beautiful Devon, a beautiful county, and we live right on the coast. In fact, I can look out to sea now, and just around the headland from where we live, there is a sea arch, which is a natural arch made from a land that was going out into the sea, and the sea has gradually eroded it away and made it more beautiful. And that's what our inspiration is, the sea arch. We're more beautiful without, as well as we remove the alcohol. We also use coastal botanicals, which are native to our area, sea kelp and samphire. So we distill those along with juniper to give it that sort of alternative gin kick, if you like. And we also use blood orange, cardamom, coriander for warmth and spice and finish, so it's got lots of layers of flavor. And we present it in a beautiful bottle, which is marine blue, to reflect, you know, our coastal inspiration. And we also have on it a beautiful label which has got sand patterns, a graphic of sand patterns, which actually was from a local beach. It's actually a photograph taken from a local beach called Wannal down here in Devon. So it's, you know, we put a lot of love into it all to make it feel it's part of us and our story. And you know, we started the idea for doing a non-alcoholic drink from having a wine bar. We had a wine bar for 4 years here in Torquay, and more people were looking for alternatives. You know, they didn't want to drink all the time, and also for us, you know, we work very hard in there, and you're socializing, but you don't want to drink while you're working as well. So we began to think about an idea for something, you know, as a great alternative to alcohol, and so we explored that further and further.
Yeah, and you've been going a few years now. So how have you seen the whole alcohol-free drinks market change?
Well, from being something that people just did not understand, you know, we've done lots of shows, we've spoken to lots of people face-to-face, you know, we've done lots of festivals, food festivals and all that, all of those sort of things. So from being at the beginning when you first there and people just were looked in shock and horror, didn't understand the whole idea at all. Thinking, well, how can you have what's a spirit? How can that spirit be non-alcoholic? How can you have that in such a beautiful bottle and it hasn't got alcohol in it? What's that all about? What's the point? To now, as it's grown in, you know, people have tried it. And as long as their first experience is good, and I think that's really important because it's something so new and so different and shocking to a lot of people still. As long as their first experience is good, and that's why I think for us as brands, we have to really put across the best way to serve it to make sure you get the very best out of it. Excuse me, the very best out of it. You know, and then when they do, and you know, we get so much repeat sales now, people come back, oh, yeah, it's really, really good, and it's so great. You know, I still get the same experience from it. You know, as I get from alcohol, it's, you know, the theatre's there, the experience is there, and the flavour. It's really, really good flavour. And for us, it's not about mimicking gin. It's not about trying to copy gin. It's about giving you a feel for that. You know, at the end of the day, you know, we have no alcohol in it. So it's a different flavour, but it's a similar experience, similar idea. And it has the essence of it. It has the juniper, has those beautiful botanical layers of flavour.
Yeah.
So for that, we feel we've succeeded in that.
You really have. I mean, as you say, it's just such a lovely experience, that from looking at the bottle to, you know, just all the you recommend some lovely you know, sort of recipes to make it into little mocktails, and we'll talk about one of those in a moment. But what I just wanted to say, and again, I know you know this, and I've probably said it lots of times on the podcast, but your drink is literally the reason my husband stopped drinking at all, because he, you know, was one of those people who didn't have an issue with alcohol. He can have a drink and then not have a drink for 3 weeks, or he can drink all weekend. And then, you know, one of those people that literally had an off switch. So it wasn't an issue for him. So he didn't even think about it, you know, the way so many of us do. He didn't need to discuss whether he was a moderate drinker. It just wasn't a thing for him. But what's so interesting is when he started drinking the Sea Arch, because I was, you know, pouring mine, he suddenly kind of thought, well, but why would I bother with alcohol when I've got this? So literally, you are responsible for him now being totally alcohol free. So, I mean, that's very, very cool that you're, you know, as you say, this isn't just for people who can't, in inverted commas, definitely are trying to ditch the booze. It's a really fantastic choice for everyone, and I think you've done brilliantly in that space.
Yeah, it's about that. It's about choice and about being inclusive, isn't it? It's you know, we go back to that idea of, you know, no longer does the person who doesn't want to drink have to have the Coke or the water or the, you know, lime and soda. They have a great alternative, and that will encourage more people like your husband into that way of drinking, because it's not the alcohol. I have a good time in a party and I'm part of the whole great occasion, or I'm not. You know, by drinking the other options. Now you can be, and that's so, so important for growing this category.
Yeah, totally. So just tell us, maybe you could just suggest a couple of simple mocktails that we could knock up.
Yeah, I mean, the one I've got up on the site, on my Instagram most recently, which we loved making, was so beautiful, was with rhubarb, fresh rhubarb. And who doesn't love fresh rhubarb? I mean, usually you would cook it up as a dessert with sugar, you know, make a pie or a crumble or just have it on its own. But we've made it, we stewed it up, or we heated it with just a little bit of water to cover, cut the stalks up, and covered it with water and brought it to the boil, simmered it, and then and it goes to sort of, you think, oh, it's a sort of greeny browny colour, but you pass it through a fine cloth and it is the most beautiful pink rose colour.
Amazing.
So, yeah, it's so beautiful. And then we also made a little bit of fresh cardamom syrup by literally just a few cardamom pods, just cover with water, a little bit of sugar, bring that up to the simmer again and just let it sort of infuse. And that has beautiful, you know, beautiful spice flavor and warmth. And so we made it by putting 50 ml of sea arch, about 150 ml of homemade rhubarb juice, half a teaspoon of cardamom syrup, serve it chilled over ice. We made these beautiful rhubarb ribbons. So the stalk, before we boiled them up, we sort of took our potato peeler, if you like, and from one end to the other, we just pulled a ribbon through. So you'd actually peel it right down through, and those make these lovely, lovely rhubarb ribbons. And then we put that all in a lovely glass and a splash of soda if desired, but not necessary. You can, you know, it's just really, really lovely fresh drink. And the drinks that we try and make with sea arch that we think it works best with are those clean, fresh citrus and herb sort of flavors. You know, we do a really lovely cucumber one with basil or with thyme, and a cucumber tonic works really well. I mean, the ones we work with tonic, we call them like C&T, you know. We think that works really well, and various ones of those that we like to do, but we like to use the fresh product. I mean, blood oranges, there's blood orange actually in sea arch, so we made, you know, really lovely blood orange one. They just a lovely squeeze of blood, which is slightly sweeter than the usual orange. And Fever Tree do a very nice clementine tonic. You know, there's loads of tonics out there now. Great tonics.
That sounds great. You'll have to give us that recipe. I'll put it on the show notes. That sounds really wonderful. Yeah,
really, really nice. Love that. And I think we just started to experiment with some. We'll do some rhubarb. Some raspberry and rose. We're doing this. We just discovered this lovely rose soda. So we're going to do some with that as well. Pink seems to be the colour at the moment.
Excellent. That's great. And just remind us then, you've got a couple of sizes. You've now got these smaller gifting bottles, which I think is a really lovely idea.
Yeah, we've got these 25cl bottles. They're so, so cute. Great for gifts or to people that you want to just, you know, give a lovely gift to, or give them a little try if they, you know, not sure if they're going to want to go for the big bottle first. So try the smaller bottle. 25cl size. They've got a lovely, more beautiful without little tag around them. So they work really well. You can buy them again direct from the website. And we currently have a lockdown offer, which we're running, until we feel that lockdown is out of it, more than we are, certainly more than we are now. So running at the moment, it's 10% discount off everything, plus free shipping. So it's a really, really good offer.
That's great. And I must just ask you, because there might be people thinking, oh my goodness, you know, I don't want to put any more weight. And one of the reasons I'm ditching the booze is because, you know, I want to get healthier. So what about the sort of the sugar and all of that? Where does the sort of calorific thing
come in? Sugar. Yeah, no sugar, no calories, no artificial flavours.
So it really is just what you add to it, isn't it?
Absolutely. Allergen-free, vegan, and of course, yes, what you add to it. I mean, if you use it with a light tonic, you're talking maybe 13, 15 calories for a drink, which is pretty good. Mm. You know, if you just do it with a bit of fruit juice, obviously there's natural fruit sugars which have calories in them, but you know, they're really lovely and you know, make great drinks. You know, get some different flavored light tonics now as well, or soda. You can make a really lovely spritz if you put in a little bit of elderflower presse, a bit of fresh lime juice, and top it with soda and of course sea arch. That makes a really lovely, very, very low calorie drink as well.
Yeah, excellent. I love it. Can't wait to make that rhubarb one. Remind us of your website then, Sarah.
Yeah, www.searchdrinks.com. We're excellent. Also available as well from, you know, Wise Bartender, Dry Drinker, Alcohol, you know, lots of those.
Yeah, excellent. Well, we look forward to speaking to you hopefully quite soon, when you'll be out and about at festivals and maybe in some more sort of bars. I mean, that's what we want, isn't it? Ultimately, for the future, absolutely. We want you available everywhere.
Yeah,
yeah. Thanks very much, Sarah. Bye.
Thank you. Bye bye.
So don't forget, in addition to the 10% off offer that Sarah was mentioning for Sea Arch, there's a competition to win some Sea Arch and a copy of How to Be a Mindful Drinker, the club soda book that comes in with the bundle. You'll find that at imperfectlynatural.com, or you can find the link in the show notes. If you haven't already, make sure you grab yourself a copy of my little mini ebook PDF, How to Get and Stay Sober During Lockdown. There's a few, you know, fun tips in there that might just help you on your way. So you can find the link to that again in the show notes, or if you go to the blog on thesoberclub.com, or you can just drop me a message or an email, and I'll make sure you get on the list and get a copy of that PDF. Don't forget as well, I do have a playlist on my YouTube channel. If you go to YouTube, Janie Lee Grace, and click on the playlist, which is called Imperfectly Natural Health and Wellbeing Lockdown Series. And what you'll find there is some interviews with some really fantastic experts who weren't necessarily quite right for the Alcohol Free Life podcast, because we're talking completely generically about health and wellbeing. But some really interesting stuff. There's Zoe Harkham on there, who is talking about, well, the power of real food, actually, and boosting immunity. Patrick Holford talking about his book Flu Fighters, and again what we can all do to really take responsibility and boost our own health and well-being at any time, but certainly right now. There's an interview on there with I think we've put the Neil Shah interview from the Stress Management Society. There's the video of that. So there's a whole bunch of interviews that you might enjoy if you want to just really up your knowledge and your info about boosting immunity. Oh, Dr. Sarah Myhill, of course. That's a really fascinating interview specifically about COVID-19 and Dr. Sarah Myhill's recommendations as to how we can all keep ourselves well in a very in a very, very easy to do stuff. So enjoy that. And I look forward to speaking to you same time next week. Obviously, if you want to come and join us in the Sober Club, check it out. It's just great for accountability, for inspiration. We've got the online course, Get the Buzz Without the Booze, as well. So you'll find all the info and the competitions and the blog posts and all of that stuff at thesoberclub.com. See you next week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.